No, I think it is. Okay. Okay, so this is a question I had never really thought of until this morning. I was listening to a share by Rabbi Foreman. I'm not 100% convinced by its conclusion, but I think the question is worth asking. I think the beginning, the direction that he opens, is suggestive. I think I might suggest a different direction. Okay, he notes that if you think about our davening on Shabbos morning, which is framed around Vishamru v'nei Yisrael Shabbos, it's actually really weird how Chazal chose to introduce it. Yismach Moshe b'matnat chelko k'evin ne'eman karat lo klil tiferet roshon nasat alo v'amdo l'fenech al har sinai shnei luchot avanim harib b'yado v'chatuv b'hem shmirat Shabbat v'chin katuv v'dardecha v'shamru v'nei Yisrael at Shabbat. Right? It's like a very, it's like a strange way of starting davening, and of all things, like imkvar, you're going to talk about Shabbos with this, like this beautiful poetic introduction to Moshe Rabbeinu's, commitment to, and like, first of all, why is Moshe's commitment to God and his being called an Eved the introduction to Vishamru, and why Vishamru of all things, like, you know, Shabbos is discussed in the Aseret Dibros too. Like, yes, it's discussed at the beginning of Parshas Ki Tisa in Vishamru. But like that's a little bit odd. Sorry, Foreman notes, and I think I can't believe I never saw it, but I can't imagine that he's not correct about this. He notes that in Pshat, the reason that this is true is because this is the last thing that Moshe hears on Har Sinai, because the next pasuk after Vishamru is Vayitein El Moshe Kechalotol Daberi To Bahar Sinai Shnei Luchot Haidut Luchot Even Ktuvim BeEtzba Elohim. Right, the next pasuk after Vishamru is, and as God finished talking to him on Har Sinai, so he gave Moshe the Luchot Ha'edut, which are written by the finger of God. Right, for whatever reason in Pshat, that is actually the last thing that Moshe gets at Har Sinai. Right, so you know, if you just follow the Torah Kisidran, right, Kisidra, you get the notion that what did Moshe learn at Har Sinai? Right, if he didn't learn Kol HaTorah Kulo, whatever he did learn, but the very basics that we know El Pi Pshat that he learns are Yitro Mishpatim Truma Tetzaveh and the first Aliyah of Kedisa, meaning Mishkan, the basics of our monetary law in Mishpatim, and then Shabbos. Hence, Chazal say that is the right. This was the matana that Moshe got, so to speak, when he went down.
We already had Shabbos.
What?
We already had Shabbos.
We did, and yet for some reason this is like the last thing that you frame it. So that's what I want to try to figure out. Is okay? I'm relatively compelled by that read, right? That the writing of the Tefillah and somehow framing the words of Vishamru v'nei Yisrael al Shabbos as being something unique about Yismach Moshe b'matnat chelko is because in the Chanami it is the last thing that he hears about. But yeah, now I want to explore, so what does that mean? Jerry Foreman takes the direction that the Iker component of this tefillah are the first two words, right? Are Yismach Moshe, right? Is that what Chazal saw here was a reason to rejoice, and what was the reason to rejoice? So he's medayek from the fact that it says ki Eved Neman karat alo, that when is Moshe called Eved Neman? So he's called in the Torah, in the Chumash. He's called Eved Neman. This is undeniable. He's called Eved Neman. No, at Miriam, right? When Miriam talks badly about him, Hashem says, "What are you doing? He's a different type of Navi. You have no right to challenge him." Yes, right. Yes, you think you're a Navi just like Moshe, but it's untrue. Moshe is Bechol Beiti Neman Hu. He speaks to me directly, panim el panim, and you, every other Navi, speaks in a dream. And therefore, right, Foreman says, what's the simcha, right? What's the connection between Yismach Moshe and Eved Ne'eman? So he says it's the fact that there is an intense joy that comes from revelation itself, and Moshe had a unique level of revelation, and that's sort of the upshot of that beginning part. Now, what does Shabbos have to do with this? So his argument is that Shabbos and the Mishkan, which are the two previous units, are God's way of saying, look, Moshe has it in an intense way, but the Jews have it in a less intense way. Right? Now, I think there is some truth to that, right? Rilchamsin used to talk about this a lot. It was developed most extensively by Heschel. You know Heschel? Yeah, in the Sabbath. Right? The notion that the message of the Mishkan followed by Shabbos and all the halachic connections between the Mishkan and Shabbos is that there is such a thing as a Mishkan in time or a Shabbos in space, however you want to look at it, that right, God introduces the notion that the way he interacts with the world is that we carve out a space for him in space and we carve out a time for him in time, and it's those two things that allow us to have a continued relationship with God. And again, this has both theological implications and halachic implications, right? That the claim, Rav Lichtenstein was fond of this, right? That the halachic connection between Mishkan and Shabbos is the halachic expression of this theological truth. Right? And that's why Melech and Machshev is derived from the Mishkan, and that's why the Mishkan is not Doche Shabbos, right? Meaning there is this sort of religious time-space continuum thing going on with all types of manifestations. So Foreman really focuses on this, right? That the way the Tefillah should be read is Yismach Moshe b'matnat chalko ke'evin ne'eman karata lo. Klil tifer b'rashon notata lo. Right? Moshe was rejoiced in the fact that he had a unique relationship with God because he was ne'eman karata lo, right? And he has this klil tifer, right? He has this crown. He has a... Right, even his face was glowing to the point where no one else could quite fathom the nature of the relationship with God. But don't worry. Right, the last thing Moshe hears when he comes down from Har Sinai is that even though you have it in a qualitatively different way than the Jews have it, that doesn't mean they don't also have an opportunity of forging a relationship with God in a continuous way. They do, and that is called Shabbos. Right? And therefore, that is the introduction to B'Shamra B'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos. I would add that I think there's one more thing going on here. Again, this is what I was thinking about in the car, but this is my speculation that there is more to it. I think part of this is true, right? Part of it is that Moshe is right that for some that Mishkan and Shabbos, the notion that God is present and imminent in time and space, was critical for Moshe as he left Har Sinai in the Ramban sense, right? That there is a continuation of Sinai, and Shabbos is part of that picture, not only Mishkan. But I would focus on the interesting thing to me is not what comes before, but also what comes after. Because what comes right afterwards... Wait, what comes immediately after Vishamru and Terah?
No,
the Egel, right? Thank you. And what exactly, Ram, we'll get more into this later in the week, but what is the drama of Moshe's back and forth with God over the Egel? If I had to summarize it, if I had to really boil it down, it would be, right? You're talking about Moshe's strategies, but what is the fundamental argument between Moshe and God?
God wants to restart the nation of Moshe.
The correct. God wants to restart the Jewish people with Moshe, and Moshe says, you can't. Why not? Is for many different reasons that he brings up. One is, I'm not going to let you. I refuse. I refuse to be part of this. Right? But as I think about it, what might have led Moshe, what might have given Moshe the courage to say what he said? And deny why.
I don't know. I just knew that's the answer.
Well, I was going to pick up on. I was going to pick up on part of the pasuk, but what part of the pasuk am I going to pick up on?
L'dorosam
brit olam. Right? Is that we have an eternal covenant. Right? If you think about Moshe's argument, it's you can't do that. Right? We'll get to why you can't do that. But you can't just restart with me because you have a relationship with the Jewish people. Not just with Moshe's children, but with the Jewish people. Right? I think it's not just Shabbos that is critical here. Right? But it's almost God is giving Moshe the ammunition he's going to need to defend himself against God. Right, Moshe is putting the words in his mouth. Right, it's Dorotam Brit Olam. Just listen to the words and then think about the context of Moshe's ensuing arguments. Beiniu Bein Israel Oti Liolam. I mean, this is for eternity. There is an eternity to the relationship of God and the Jewish people. So that's something to think about, is that I think Ray Forman's also right, that part of it is that Shabbos ends the discussion that Moshe has with God on Har Sinai, because it is one of the ways in which the Jews are going to be able to continue their relationship with God, and at some level mimic or take part in the experience that Moshe had at Har Sinai. But I think part of why, not just, and this comes back to why isn't it the one from the Aser Sadibros that Chazal focus on? Why is it that it's Vishamru that is the one that is the Makabeh Patish as Moshe leaves Har Sinai? I think it's not just Shabbos as an expression of Kedushas Hazman. It's Shabbos as an expression of the fact that the relationship of the Jews and God is eternal, which is going to be the ammunition Moshe is going to need in his defense against God, right, to protect the Jewish people. And I think that has to be taken into account, because otherwise, right, it's very, very odd. It's because it's not just Shabbos, you're right, it's not just the Shabbos of the Aseret Dibros. What's introduced here that wasn't the Aseret Dibros is that Shabbos is unique in its expression of the role of Brit, right, an eternal Brit, which I think, right, you can't help but notice that is a critical part of Moshe's argument in the ensuing Pesukim. Okay?